So I want to talk about, my title is Lost in the Father's House. Lost in the Father's House. You know, we all seek relationships and friendships. We all long and are looking for these, it's a longing within us, these needs that we want to be wanted and loved and accepted and significant. All of these things, you know, we want to feel safe and secure. I know all of my life, all of these longings were the very thing that drove me. It drove me to relationships, to the partying, to career. I was really a survivor. Some of you know my story, but because of my environment when I was a kid, these longings just became, just magnified because of, you know, I had a father who abandoned me when I was six. I had a mother who was an alcoholic. I was sexually abused for 9 years, got raped when I was 16. And so when you're thinking about all that, all of these things, all you do is there's a longing that are in there, and you're going, you know, you know that people are supposed to fulfill them, and you're looking and longing to get these needs fulfilled. And to lo and behold, it got worse for me. As I became a teen, I was seeking for someone to keep me safe and secure, and I could not find it. Every time I would just pour out and give my heart to someone, I would get wounded and hurt and disappointed and yet betrayed one more time. So little by little, I learned how to put my walls up. Little by little, I understood that I could not let anybody have part of me because it was too risky. And so I never walked in a pattern of vulnerability nor in a pattern of being real. So I pretended to be someone I was not. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus." My God shall supply all of your needs. You know, when we look at this, we look at it as automatically these temporal needs, and I know God can take care of us. But we automatically go to that word and we think it's the temporal things, things that come and go, like a car and a house. And God wants us to, he's that intimate and personal with us. You know, that's why we call it a relationship. He wants to hear our hearts. But when we look at this, we must go to the other needs. I think the foundational needs that I'm talking about, the things that drive us forward at times. And if they're not taken care of, then we will find ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time, giving ourselves away to the wrong people. I know you know what I'm talking about. These are called being needs. Need of life. The need of identity. The need of acceptance. The need for security and significance. The need to feel safe. The world tries to convince us that they can offer this to us. Whatever we need, we can get it through the world. We seek to meet these needs through relationship, as I said, through parties, through sex, drugs, career. For me, I went through the whole gamut of it in high school because it was so intense that I knew that if I couldn't continue to go forward, I really felt actually many times that I wanted to take my life. That's how intense these longings, these needs were overwhelming for me. Until I met Jesus. And my pursuit changed. I started realizing that I didn't have to feel alone and I didn't have to be rejected anymore or empty. Now, the question I need to ask you, and most people ask me, well, how did you do it? How did you stop being driven by your needs? And I think, you know, we all go through life and journey figuring that out. But I think I came to the end of my search where I was free now to trust someone else to fulfill those needs. And it was really, truly through my relationship with Jesus. There was nothing I did to save myself from these longings and these needs, nor was there any relationships or worldly pursuits that could meet them. I tried it, beloved. I tried it. There was nothing. I tasted everything, and it just left me more empty the more I tried. And then I started believing that the only thing, because the scripture says the only thing I needed to do to get these needs met was to believe that Christ had already met these needs. He had already done it. I'm just saying, wait a minute, that is way too easy for me. I thought it would be a lot more complicated to get my needs met. I thought I had to perform, I had to attain something in order for God to do this. But according to scripture, it said no. The only person who can adequately meet these needs is Jesus and him alone. And so I started realizing when the scripture said in John 10:19, when it says, "I am the door, and if anyone enters in by me, He will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pastures. I no longer needed to strive to be loved and accepted, because somewhere in scripture I started realizing that he called me beloved, that he called me special and cherished and something wonderfully made. I understood that in the depths of my heart, I started realizing that his love for me was so intense that absolutely no one actually gave me even a remnant of it. And I kept on hearing, you are mine, you are accepted in me. So I didn't have to pursue relationships to find this sense of worth or titles to feel like I belonged, or a special dress, because I was very vain before I came to God. It was all about what I looked like. I hated everything about me because of everything that I had gone through. I hated my face, my body, the way I spoke. There was absolutely nothing until God started wooing me back to his heart and started showing me that he had created me for such a time as this, that he had set me apart, chosen and qualified me for the things that were going to come. I didn't know how he was going to do it. He just told me, take the first step, believe and trust me, and I will do it. I have to say, though, that as I knew and understood the house that he had given me, the heavenly house, I started removing these shackles and free. I love that song, no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free. And little by little, as I got to know who Jesus was, I started understanding that he had already unlocked the door for me. I didn't have to unlock it. I only had to believe that he had done it for me. Jesus had the key to the Father's house. Jesus unlocked that door and he said, walk in. Accept what my son has done for you. Understand that he's already done all the work. All you have to do is believe. Have faith. As I chose to walk according to what God said, I still had my struggles. I still had my struggles because going through what I went through with sexual sin and being sexually abused, my identity was so wrapped up in shame. And it was hard to remove these patterns and these survival skills that I had, you know, developed over time. But my Jesus knew me. He understood me. He understood these struggles. I had deep feelings of loneliness and rejection. I understood that I was on a journey to discover truth. But you know, sometimes you just want that truth to get here quicker. Have you ever done that? Because they call me Tigger at home. You know, I bounce back and forth. Okay, what do we do next? What do we do next? And God said, you know, relax. Rest. I've done that work. All you have to do is just walk in me. Walk with me. So I stopped growing to the wrong things to fill the emptiness and to heal my wounds. And I stopped hiding behind my walls. That was the hardest for me. Those walls were there for a reason. But do you understand those walls not only, well, you think they protect you, but all those years, I still got hurt. All those years, I still was betrayed. All those years, I still got wounded. But I was under the impression, actually, I was deceived into believe that this is the way I was going to do to protect myself. And so I kept on persisting on something that didn't work. And so God kept on telling me, lower your walls. Because when my walls were up, I'm not only not letting anything in, I'm not letting anything out neither. And so these things needed to go someplace. So God started saying, seek me in this time. Now, I understood when I came to him, he gave me life. Not only did he give me eternal life, he gave me his life in me. I knew I would never be alone again. See, that's what it means, being in Christ. I was hidden. I was complete in him. I might not have felt it at the very moment when I realized that, but as I walked with my journey of truth, I started realizing that he was more real than anything or anyone that ever spoke to me about love. See, it's not what I did or what I was doing for him. He said, no, just being who you are, I have accepted you. He said, I have adopted you and I called you friend. He said, now you don't have to feel that you have to protect yourself because nothing will separate you from me. I will never leave you alone, nor will I forsake you. And he had established me. He said, I will establish you, I will anoint you, and I will seal you because of what my son has done for you. I started understanding my significance. You see, we do whatever we have to do. We comply to whomever is before us because we so have that need to be loved and to be accepted. We will do anything to be recognized. It drives the most of us. Not one of us in this place can say, oh, I have no need of that. Yes, you do, because God created you with these needs. I started realizing I was God's workmanship. I was wonderfully made. He called me a royal priestess. I've been called a lot of things, but never that. I thank the Lord that he started speaking over me something so different than what I had heard. So if you've entered by Jesus, you are in his house today. If he's opened the door and you accepted his invitation, you came in, he says to you, you're in my house. You have to do nothing to attain what's in that house. It's all yours because of my son. He calls you a child of God now. And for years, because I was so stuck in the performance wheel, have you ever done that? Where if I perform, people will like me. You know, if I did a good job, then I would get accolades. You know, I had that from my mom all the time. I could never, ever do anything. Nothing was enough. But with God, he said, no, 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 you don't have, you're not becoming a child of God. You are a child of God right now. I no longer had to look for a key to open the door. The door was open. And you no longer have to. If you have opened that door, now you're in the Father's house, and he's given you everything in that house. You need to understand everything that you will need for life, you have in him. You need to accept it. You need to receive it. You need to choose day in and day out that to believe that he can meet those needs. You see, I'm a creature of habit. I always had to have somebody with me. I always had to have a relationship. When I came to God, I remember just before coming to him, I was seeking, and God said, I want you to stay alone. I want you to discover who I am. Because I gave away my affections too quickly, beloved. I gave away my affections, and I trusted the wrong people. Then I started realizing those things made me go back to how I was trying to protect myself, and God kept on saying, don't do this. Don't do this, because if you're keeping people away, you're keeping me away as well. I know that if you understand that you're in the house, that Jesus has unlocked the door for you. You don't have to attain anything. You only have to receive it by faith. Now, I know that God not only gave us the Word and the Holy Spirit and gave us all the provisions and the promises, he also gave us each other. And that's the earthly house that God has given us. You know, unfortunately, I've seen too many people in the earthly house, totally lost, wounded, rejected, and lonely. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever felt it? I have. I felt it. But a lot of people say, no, I have been hurt from the church. It's not a safe place. Don't expect me to trust people in the church, but you don't understand. This is exactly what God has put before you to get your healing. But I think what has happened is that because we've experienced failed experiences, we've been failed relationships, and we've been let down, and we felt betrayed and all alone, we think that Jesus is the same. That if the people of God do that to us, then maybe God is doing that to us. And that was my first mistake. I started realizing that when I was experiencing something, the enemy would come in and say, well, you know, God's doing this to me. And I forgot that I was already in that house. I was already in that house. God had put me there through his son, through me believing and accepting what he had given me. And I understood now that I had to fight this, that God was going to show me how to do relationship. God had given me a new family, a body of Christ, not a perfect family, but a new family nevertheless, to help me figure out how to walk by faith, how to be healed, how to discover my freedom from these longings that drove me, this darkness that invaded my heart. And little by little, God would say, let go, let this person in. And I'm telling you, I fought hard. I was a survivor. I was a fighter. And God never, ever quit on me. He pursued me. He wooed me. And you know, at one point or another, I just said, I give up. I give up. I'm going to stop resisting you, God, because you know me better than I do. You see, God had created us and designed us not to ever walk alone. There should be no lone rangers in the church body. But what I see is I go everywhere in the world. There's such disunity and strife and conflict. I'm saying, oh my God, don't you get it? The enemy has come in and deceived you into thinking you could do this and still receive what God, see, God has given you that house, but he's also given you the people in that house so that you can heal and you can discover who he is. He's going to do this through people. And I started realizing that something I needed to do, I didn't have to do this alone anymore. But I think sometimes we don't discern or use very much wisdom in whom we give the special deposit that God has given us. This heart, this new life. And I started discovering that not everybody who called themselves Christians were safe. That was my second mistake. And I started realizing that God actually mentioned several things in the scripture because he said, I never told you church was going to be safe. I told you I was going to be safe. Proverbs 18:21 says, 18:10, I should say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. That means God places us on high until we figure it out. He takes us out of danger. A strong tower means that God is sufficient for my protection in danger. God is a fortified tower to which I can run into when I'm doing life with people and people are disappointing me. When I'm doing life and walking along with people and they hurt me and even sometimes even betray me, oh no, not in the church. But we know it happens. People are fickle. Humanity, you know, is full of emotions and we like to express it sometimes inappropriately to one another. But God says, if you run to me, I will keep you safe. This is what safe means in this scripture. It means helped, cared for, watched over, secure, defended. Now, for years, I trusted myself while being in the church, but there was something missing. I always felt that there was something missing because when you read the scriptures, it talks about having fellowship with one another, loving each other fervently and deeply from the heart. And I'm going, whoa, wait a minute, I'm not doing that. Oh, I'm with the family, but I'm not loving people. I trusted myself and I realized that I also trusted the wrong people because I'm thinking, well, if they're in a church, they should be fine. You see, I have been betrayed. And I have been rejected and I have felt alone in the church. But I'm here to tell you that I stop associating what people did to me with God because God is nothing of the above. When God says something, he means it. When he gives us promises, they're yea and amen. He cannot change. That's why he's a sure foundation. That's why he's a rock that is higher than anything we can go through. But when it comes to people, this is where we have a hard time. So I decided to understand that not everybody is safe and that God was trying to teach me. And there is no perfect family short of heaven. I think we have a warped sense of idea of what people are. You see, God sent his son to die for us the way we were. He says, while I was yet still a sinner, he died for me. Doing all the wrong things, saying all the wrong things, acting all the wrong way, he loved me. And we are to do the same if we call ourselves followers of Christ. But sometimes we have to find people to learn how to walk. I call them Jesus with skin on. Safe people, because in the house, the earthly Father's house, you will have safe people, unsafe people, and I call my third part of people hurtful lingerers, people who hurt. You see, when people hurt, they hurt people. Do you see that? When you hurt, all you want to do is lash out, don't you? But I came to understand that the Bible teaches us to value relationships, to choose your friends wisely. You've been doing a whole series on relationship. I'm sure you've heard a whole slew of stuff. I'm talking to a few of you and how blessed you were. That's what you were saying. You received a lot of good information about relationship. Praise God. But I know Proverbs 22 says you need to be careful in who you choose because you can be ensnared by them. So for many years, I picked the wrong people. So God wanted me to discern and to be wiser in the way that I did this. So I started studying the word. I started studying the life of Jesus. And this is when the challenge came to me. And this is a challenge I'm gonna shoot to you before I finish. I'm almost finished tonight. I have about an hour and a half left. I think we should be good. I'm just joking. I'm almost finished. Almost. God sent me a challenge. Will you look to me as you walk with my people? Will you let me train you and teach you how to love them? Because really, truly, the love is already there. You've got the Spirit in you. You're in my house, Mona. You have everything you need to be all you should be and all that you were created to be. So I started drawing from the Word of God when it came to relationships. And this is what I came up with. I asked myself, what are safe people? And how can I become one for others? Now, it wasn't about me finding safe people for me, but I really do need it. I've come to the conclusion, I'm 52 years old, and it took me way too long to figure it out, beloved. If you figure it out now, you are going to be much wiser than I was. We need safe relationship and safe people to walk through what we are about to walk through in the days to come. We need to develop and commit ourselves to people that God has put us in the Father's house together, to walk together, a community of believers to walk the same way, to desire to walk and to glorify God together. So let's start with what are safe relationships. Now, you can probably take notes if you can, but this is what safe relationship says in scriptures. There's three things that they pull out. Safe relationships, the first thing. So think about all of your relationships right now. Just think about it. You're probably going to get faces, or you're going to hit the person next door. You're going to ask yourself three things what safe relationships look like. The first one, they draw you closer to God. Matthew 22 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. When we're walking the same pattern, the same way, we should be encouraging each other to walk with God. And when we see someone in sin or struggling, in love and gentleness, we should say, hey, what are you doing? You know, let me help you. Do you need me to call you in the morning to pray for you? You know, are you having a hard time reading the word? Well, let's do it together. Let's be an accountability buddy. Let's do this together. We were never intended to walk this on our own. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. But he also sent the body of Christ to help us. So the first one is to draw us closer. Does your relationships, the relationships you're in right now, are they drawing you closer to God, or are they drawing you away? Second one, do they draw you closer to others? Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. You see, this is where we learn how to do this. Do you think it's coming from a textbook? We're going to learn how to do this, walking this out with each other. So the relationships you have, do they draw you to others, or are they just exclusive? I tell my young people, don't show me you're in the clique because I'm coming in. Cliques are dangerous, beloved. Because what happens if you stick to one person? It means that if that one person abandons you, in which they will, you will have absolutely nobody to help you heal. Because you would have pushed away everybody else because you just wanted that friend. No, a safe relationship will cause you to let you have other friendships. There won't be any jealousy or envy or any conflict going on, because you see, you're going to understand safe relationships don't get jealous. They nurture, they build, they commit. And the last one is that relationships, safe relationships will help you become the real person God created you to be. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in it. Whom do you think we're going to be walking in it with? You and I. And so when I'm walking, when I have people, and I love having, you know, Pastor P and Rosa in my life and many other leaders who have spoken into my life. Now, think about if I stayed shut down and withdraw, and I stayed not emotionally involved with people around me. Oh, I could have did relationship. I could have pretended. I could have went along. But if I never let anybody in, if I never let my walls in, then I would have never touched this really important part. And this is where most of my healing came. It came doing relationships. This is why God had to teach me to look and to be wise and to discern the character of the type of relationship I was in. And when I started looking at scripture, it just went bang. I went, I'm going to teach this to people, because too many people I've seen come into the Father's house wounded, rejected, alone, lost, and not knowing how to get out. And they're saying, and I talk to them and I say, you know, why don't you go and see the sister so-and-so? And no, don't ask me. I got hurt by too many people. And I went, you know, have you ever discovered that maybe you chose the wrong person or the wrong relationship to invest in? So the question, the last question you need to ask yourself, so how do we recognize safe people? What do they look like? Well, we have to go back to Jesus. The first thing that Jesus taught us was to dwell. Did you see how he walked amongst the people? He dwelt among them. Dwelling refers to someone's ability to connect with us. It means they're not after anything in particular. They just want to connect. They just want to know how you're doing. It means to encamp and to reside with you. These safe people are able to connect in ways that that they know how we are on the inside and on the outside. They know us in the hard times, low times, and the good times. And they're consistently walking with us. Do you have people like that? You see, most people that I see, especially young, are deficient in their safe relationships. And because of that, they stay in bondage. Now, you understand you have everything you need in Jesus, but you see, we're going to discover how to do that and how to walk that out with people. So safe people learn how to dwell with you. They'll reside, they'll be consistent with you. Second one, there's three, dwelling, and grace is the second one, which we know is unmerited favor. What it really means is that someone is on our side, that they are for us, not against us. Grace implies unconditional love and acceptance with no condemnation. Grace says to you, you are accepted just the way you are, and that you will not be ashamed or incur wrath if you blow it. Let me tell you. I was a force to reckon with when I came to the Lord. I knew I was in his house. I knew he had saved me from much, given me the ability to forgive all those who had robbed me of my innocence. But I didn't know how to do relationship. I was prickly. Actually, I was close to an emotional cactus. I picked and I hurt and I wounded. But the people who were safe that God brought in my life, I had a choice to let go of my walls and let them in. I started feeling safe for once in my life. Now, I understood that this, but I couldn't touch God. I needed something real in front of me. And so God brought me people in the body. He brought me leaders. He brought me friends and different sisters and brothers in the body to dwell with me. And I would push them. Oh, I would be nasty. And I would push them and see how far and if they would abandon me, because I had gotten abandoned by everybody. And I knew God said he'd never abandon me, but I needed the proof. Okay, this is the people, they love God. I'm going to see, are they going to stick with me when I'm really bad? And you know, I started realizing through these individuals, I started letting go of my pain and my hurts and my wounds. I went, no way. This can't be so. I started having these people who gave me grace. They just accepted me. They just walked along with no judgment. They loved me. And then they did another thing. They gave me truth. Truth implies many things here tonight. But in relationship, it implies honesty, being real with one another, and living out the truth with each other. Many people think that safe relationships are relationships that just give grace without any confrontation. I had this one woman who actually came from a horrible background, and for years I just dwelt with her. I resided with her, and nobody actually, she was so prickly, nobody, when they saw her come into church, they ran for cover, because she had a sharp tongue, and she was quick to judge, and she was really actually a very unloving woman. But I just saw beyond that. I saw the woman that God had saved. I understood what God had done for her, and so I started actually. She was the one that I learned how to become a safe person. He gave me one of the worst persons coming to our church. He said, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to really teach you. I guess I needed the challenge. It's easy to love those that are easy to love. I learned to be safe with people who were complicated, people who were wounded beyond recovery, people who just said, you know, no hope for them. I took them on. And I kept on saying, God, this is my assignment from you. You're going to teach me how to do this. You're going to teach me how to dwell with them. So I dwelt with her year after year. I gave her grace. I accepted her. But I also gave her truth. That means when she was doing something that didn't line up to the Word of God, I'd say, you know, you cannot do this, love. Let me show you what the Word of God said. And so I would teach her. But there are times when she said, no, you're not being loving to me. And I went, no, if I wasn't being loving, I wouldn't tell you the truth. The truth is, you cannot do this if you call yourself a child of God. Listen to me when I'm telling you. God wants to heal you of that sharp tongue, but you need to just rely on God and surrender. So we started talking. I started giving her truth. You know, unfortunately, she didn't believe that I loved her because every time I gave her truth, she believed that I did not accept her the way she was. And I said, listen, I know what God wants to do with you. And when you're ready, I'm here. When you're ready to heal and to learn what God has done for you, you come back to me. I haven't seen her since, beloved. But there are many who realized as I dwelt and gave them grace and gave them truth, they started getting their healing. Not because I could give it to them. You understand that. I'm a year human. I'm not the great counselor. The Holy Spirit is. But because they felt safe with me, they were able to let go of the walls. And guess what's behind the walls? The pain. The hurt, the wounds, the rejection, the longings. And I got the awesome privilege of seeing a whole lot of people get healed in the house of the Lord. And God is giving us this challenge. He's saying to us tonight that the first thing that I felt the Lord was asking was that some of you don't know this house that I'm talking about. Some of you did not enter into that door. God has been knocking at your door. He's opened the door. He's unlocked the door. But you have refused over and over again for whatever reason and for whatever lie you've embraced, thinking that God's going to ask you too much or he's not enough or he's not good enough, whatever it is tonight. I am telling you, if you're here tonight, there is a reason that you stepped through this door. And if that door is open to you, God is asking you, if you step through it, I will save you. And I will be your strong tower and your refuge and your rock. I will be your shield of victory. From this place, you don't fight for victory. You stand in a position of victory because of what Jesus did for you. But you must come through the door. I can't do it for you. You must accept what Christ has done on the cross for you. You must understand why God has done this for you. And you must walk according to what truth says over you. God says you are loved. You are accepted. You are significant. God says that I will supply all of your needs. He says, if I said it, I will do it. So you need to get into the Father's house. You don't have to do anything but just to believe tonight. And if you have not entered that door, you must enter it. You must not wait. And in the hearing of my voice, you must see that there's an urgency from heaven for you and God is calling your name. You must not wait one more day to walk through that door. He's calling you home. You are looking for something. You have found it tonight. In Jesus, you will find everything you need. Then you have another group here tonight who has entered through that door and has been saved, but you're still wounded and you're still alone and you still are hurting. And you are afraid to lay down the walls because you've experienced certain things. Don't make my mistake into thinking that you confuse what you're experiencing with God, with church, that it's the same thing with God. God is not a lie. He's not a man that he should lie. When he says something, that means it is true. So if you're in his house and you're hiding behind your walls, my challenge to you is to bring them down. Because as much if I do this with you and my walls are up and I'm untrusting, do you really think I'm not doing that with God? It goes both ways. See, when I know people are having problems here, I know I have to go back to the relationship with God first. That is broken first. And so I help them to heal and help them to reconnect with God and to have fellowship one more time with God. But tonight, if you are here and you understand that you have been hurt in the Father's house, tonight your choice is very clear. You must choose to forgive by the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. You see, we don't have it in us to do this. I didn't have it in us to in me to forgive those that had robbed me, those that had betrayed me. I didn't have it in me to forgive my mother who had sold me so she can have alcohol and money to get to do what she had to do. But I had it in me because I was sealed with the Holy Spirit. And I trusted that God wanted me to be healed. So if you're here tonight and you've been hurt by people in the church tonight, you've got to draw that line. You got to say, God, I'm not going to let anybody rob me of this peace. I'm going to let go. I'm going to choose to forgive. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. And when you do, what happens is God takes this person and this event off your hook, but he keeps it on his. He's watching. He has your back. But you must let go. And you must believe that God will keep you safe in the midst of journeying in your walk of forgiveness. If you understood tonight that you were not any of these characteristics, and you were probably maybe one of those unsafe people or hurtful lingerers in the Father's house, actually, it's not complicated. God says, run into me. Come to me, come home, and I will teach you. I will nurture you, and I will love you, and I will train you and equip you. And he's asking you just to trust him. The challenge is very clear. You cannot hide behind your phones. You cannot hide behind your computers. And if you choose to do that, there will come a day where you'll find yourself alone trying to heal. But God has given you a resource, beloved. And this is this church house. This is the people, the body that he's given you. And he wants you to learn how to do relationship with each other. People tell me it's too risky. I went, no, what you're doing is too risky. Because you really need to learn how to open up, how to be real, how to be truthful with one another. And when you do, you know, people ask me, how did you get your freedom? How did you get your freedom? I did it because first I trusted him to be my strong tower. And secondly, I trusted his resources that he put before me for my healing. And that's what God is asking you. Do you first trust him to be your strong tower and the rock that is higher than anything you're going through today? And secondly, do you trust what he's offered you? Your friends, your relationships. He showed you tonight what to look for. And he will train you to be that. Do you know that everywhere I go, it is amazing and it is my awesome privilege to help many out of their bondage. I know it's an honor and a privilege. And all the glory goes to God. Do you know why that I believe that God has permitted me to help people? It's because I remember where I come from. And truly, I have decided to love his people. It is a gift, and God wants to give you that gift as well. But you have to decide. I don't know if we can have a song or how you do your alto, but can I ask the worship team to come back up? Would that be good? I believe God wants to deal with some issues tonight. Do you sense that? I'm sensing that some of you have been hurt. Some of you need just a refreshing from God. You had a reality check tonight. And sometimes that's not an easy thing. They're ouch moments. I have those ouch moments all the time. But I trust God in those ouch moments. And I trust that he is delivering to me a message and a person and a resource to help me to be healed. That's why I know that people that never connect to the body really rarely grow in their walk. And I've been at this for a very long time. This is part of the way out. God says, will you come? As they sing this song tonight, I want you to stand. If God has been speaking to you about going through that door and you haven't, you need to go through that door and decide to accept what Jesus has done for you. If you've been in the Father's house and you're wounded and you've held on to it too long and God is saying, now you need to forgive, you need to do this by faith, step and do it quickly, beloved. Because when we wait, we get more entrenched in this darkness. And it's not the Spirit that leads us anymore, it's that darkness that does. I'm not joking. We need to be very clear in what we're going to decide tonight. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is here. He loves you. And he's called forth your name to come and to receive whatever you need tonight. Whatever that is, you come and ask him by faith. Amen? Can I hear an amen? All right. I think there's some of you tonight. Sometimes we do things that weigh us down. I just sense that sometimes we listen to the wrong voice. And we think that we can't move up. We can't be honest. We can't be real with what we have done and what we have experienced and what we have partook in. I have to tell you, there's actually nothing that is hidden from God. Nothing that is concealed. And in the midst of this, he calls you beloved. God is calling you tonight to walk and to come to God just the way you are. And if you're holding on to a burden that is so heavy and that you can't, it has you in bondage and has kept you captive, please, please, take that step. Trust him. Trust him with this. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God, we need you. We need you, Holy Spirit. You see your people tonight, God. You see, Lord, this is the next generation, God. You're training them, God. You are equipping them, Lord, to guard, Lord, this deposit that you've given them. You're training them, Lord, to know the difference and to discern, Lord. You are equipping them, Lord. Oh, God, Lord, remove the fear. Remove the fear, Lord, that so grips us at times, Lord. Oh, God. Speak to your people tonight. Let them know, God, to fear not, to stand and to watch your salvation upon them, God. Oh, God, come. Come. Come tonight, Lord.